"If one day my sketches look like this," she said, admiring Lanvin's exquisite illustration, "I'll be so happy I'll never need a lover."
"Estella!"
Marie reprimanded, as if no 22-year-old should even know the meaning of the word, let alone speak it aloud. Estella looked across at Jeanne, her mother, and grinned. True to form, her mother continued to make tiny pink cherry blossoms from silk and didn't look up or intervene. But Estella could see that she was pressing her lips together to stop a smile, knowing her daughter loved nothing more than to shock poor Marie.
"A dress is no match for a lover,"
Monsieur Armand admonished. He indicated the silk.
"You have 2 weeks to turn this into a golden bouquet."
"Will there be a remnant?"
Estella asked, still holding the bolt of fabric tightly to her.
"They've sent 40 meters, but I've calculated that you only need 36, if you're careful."
"I'll be as careful as a dream weaver making leavers lace,"
Estella said reverently. She took the silk away to be stretched over a wooden frame, held in place by rows of nails. A solution of sugar and water was applied to stiffen the fabric enough so that Marie could stamp circles out of it with the heavy iron cutters. Once Marie had finished, Estella covered a foam block with a piece of clean white fabric, heated her shaping ball over a low flame, tested the temperature in a pot of wax, set the first round gold disc of silk onto the white fabric, then pressed the shaping ball into the silk. It curled up instantly around the heated ball to form one lovely rosebud. She laid the rosebud to one side, then repeated the process, making 200 flowers by lunchtime. While she worked, she chatted and laughed with Nanette, Marie, and her mother, as they did every day, until Nanette said quietly,
"I've heard there are more French soldiers fleeing from the north now than Belgian or Dutch civilians."
"If the soldiers are fleeing, what stands between us and the Germans?"
Estella asked.
"Are we supposed to hold Paris with our sewing needles?"
"The will of the French people stands before the Boche. France will not fall,"
her mother insisted, and Estella sighed. It was pointless to have the argument. Much as she wished to keep her mother safe, Estella knew that she and her mother weren't going anywhere. They would continue to sit in the atelier and make flowers from fabric as if nothing mattered more than fashion, because they had nowhere else to go. They wouldn't be joining the refugees streaming down from the Netherlands, Belgium, and the north of France to the south, because they had no family in the country to whom they could run. In Paris, they had a home and work. Out there, nothing. So even though her mother's blind faith in France's ability to withstand the German army worried Estella, she had no reply. And was it so wrong that inside the walls of the atelier, they could all pretend, for perhaps only a few more days, that if couturiers like Lanvin still wanted gold silk flowers made, then everything would be all right? During their lunch hour, as they ate bowls of rabbit stew in the atelier's kitchen, Estella sat apart from the other women and drew. In pencil on paper, she sketched out the lines of a long, slim skirt that fell to the floor, a dress with sleeves capped at the shoulders, a waistline with a thin sash of gold silk, a neckline cut into an elegant V, and ornamented with lapels like those on a man's shirt. A touch nobody would expect on a floor-length gown, but one that Estella knew made it both modish and matchless. Despite the skirt's close fit, it could still be danced in. It was bold and gold, a dress to live life in. And in Paris, in June 1940, anything that promised life was welcome. Her mother finished her stew and, even though there were still 15 minutes remaining of their lunch hour, she threaded her way through the atelier to Monsieur Armand's office. Estella watched their faces as they spoke quietly to one another. Monsieur was one of the gueules cassées of the Great War, men who'd had part of their faces destroyed, as he had, by flamethrowers, leaving him...